And welcome to Community Kitchen. Of course, it's our gardening day today and Gary's away. He's having that well-deserved break. So, of course, we had to invite Lise to join us. And, of course, you've had the pleasure of listening to her. She's had her beautiful little community garden within our region. And we're going to see where that's gone. So welcome, Lise. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks, Annette. Good morning. Yes, the garden's going well. It's survived this dry heat, windy weather that we've had in the last month or so. So, yes.
It's incredible. Everyone's been talking about, I think when the last time we spoke with Gary, he was just talking about the importance of just getting that compost on there. You know, I'm sitting there like I've got all these little things ready to go and I think, oh, the rain's coming and then it hasn't come. And it's sort of like a bit of a yo-yo effect of, will I or won't I? But I did put the mulch on. I listened to what he said. So let's hope that, you know, we don't have to go through that sort of dry time very often, even though, you know, it's not like our life is depending on it. In our little garden space, there's a lot of people who are have been a lot worse off than us. So tell us, Lise, you started your community garden, and I often wondered, how far did that little involvement go out into the community?
Well, because I probably from the feeling that working on your own patch at home can be a bit of a solitary pursuit, because I don't have anyone working with me, and, you know, I'm not at the stage now to get, you can get woofers who are people that work on organic farms and you just give them bed and breakfast and they share their expertise and basically the sweat off their back. Mm. So I'm not at that stage yet. So I was really keen to find some friendly people around Burpengary, Caboolture. And so I'd already been to a number of open days over at Basilea Farm, which isn't far at all from my house. And that's Sarah Heath is the wonderful owner of that. And you speak to Sarah once a month about growing herbs, and she grows beautiful edible flowers. And what she doesn't know about growing herbs and plants is not worth knowing. And also the uses of them medicinally and all of that. So I've got to know Sarah quite well now, and also a group in our area called Grow, Make and Bake.
They're Burpengary really based, aren't they?
Yes.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
And that group is completely community run. The heart and brains behind it is a young lady named Gemma. She's a mum with a very large family and is just, as I say, she's the heart behind it. She comes up with such great ideas on how to run the swap group in a way, and it's developing, basically develops each month, and it's been going for a few years now, but it develops each month into more of a community sharing type of vibe. So we're really excited because this Sunday we have the swap, and it's at Creek, which is on Raleigh Road at Burpengary. Just look for the big windmill. Starts at 9 o'clock. But we've got three really wonderful things or guests going on this month. We've got a lady, young lady who's a home gardener who has a wonderful Instagram site called, what is she? She is Garden with Lee, and she's not quite what Instagram would say is an influencer yet, because she doesn't have 100,000 followers. Mm-hmm. She's got nearly 30,000 followers.
Wow.
And she's a young mum who has a beautiful, productive garden that's just a suburban block in Brisbane, grows exquisite fresh vegetables and fruit, and shares her knowledge and the things that she's working on and experimenting with. And it's really inspiring. I find her, you know, I love seeing her shared. So she's actually coming along to answer questions at our share group. So the community it's a case of having like locals and having that neighbourhood feel, but also spreading out further to, you know, spread things to and get people from Brisbane a bit further on. And also the Sunshine Coast, where I went up to the Sunshine Coast recently, up to Palmwoods at Homegrown Cafe, and went to my first harvest swap, which is another group similar to ours at Burpengary, which is Grow, Make and Bake. Harvest swap has been going for quite a long time, and it moves around as to where they hold their swap. and it was just amazing. The variety of things that people had grown and cooked and then put on a huge share table.
Mm-hmm.
They had a lady doing a free talk on making sourdough bread. She had 10 free little samples of the starter for the sourdough, and she just, in a really, really light-hearted, lovely way, just did a quick talk on how to do sourdough. But the sharing and the knowledge that and the sense of community and friendliness that I find in these groups is just what really inspires me and keeps me wanting to get into more and more of this kind of thing, because it's for all ages. People are feeling the pressure more and more of how expensive fresh and especially organic food is. And so to be able to go along to some type of community group where it's nothing to do with spending money, it's to do with sharing and swapping. And for example, I'm not at this stage getting any eggs at home because our chickens all went to heaven and moved on. So mm-hmm. I go to these things and I'm really pleased when I can get some free range chicken eggs. And I've even had duck eggs and then made wonderful quiches out of those, things that I wouldn't normally have because I don't keep those things or things that I don't grow.
And are you swapping produce for this?
Yes. Yeah. I take my salad greens and Asian greens and eggplants and tomatoes, all the things that I do have, and whatever I have in abundance,
yes,
is shared and swapped. And there are times when someone might only have, you know, the tiniest little thing, or there might be children there, and I see a lot of generosity happening and friendliness between strangers, which then become people that you look forward to seeing the next time. And
interesting, isn't it, with humans? Like, we went through that stage that this was how our grandparents and their parents and everyone lived. And then all of a sudden we got that stranger scariness sort of thing happening, yeah, where, you know, they put six people in a lift and no one looks at each other. And if you do say hi, they think that you're, you know, crazy or something like
you're strange.
And you're strange. But what I'm seeing is that people keep talking about this community thing. I think we're going back into what we've all missed, and that is that community feel. And seeing these groups is just wonderful. Now, just for the people listening out there, how do you become a part of something like the Grow, Bake and Make? Do you just turn up, and if you've got some little plants, or do you have to register, or is it a closed group or anything like that? No?
It's not a closed group, and you don't have to register at all. The best thing to do is to go onto Facebook,
yes,
and look for Grow, Make and Bake.
Mm-hmm.
But just if that's not something that you can get, you know, get onto quickly before Sunday, as I said before, it's the meeting starts at 9 o'clock and on at Creek on Rowley Road. Mm. And all it is going there, setting up what you've got. If you've got something to share or swap, you put that on the table. There'll be the talks, and Sarah Heath from Basil Lee's doing a pizza making demonstration, so you can imagine how good that's going to be. Delicious. And right at the end, it goes for about an hour and a half, right at the end is when the share table will be opened, and that's when people take what they feel is fair based on maybe what they've contributed themselves, but also you're just guided by what feels fair and what feels right, and you can ask questions of whoever made it or grew it. It's just got a very friendly way to it. But there's no registration involved. There's no need to let anyone know that you're coming. The people, myself included, that set up will be there earlier and set up the tables and have it. So you'll be able to see very easily where we are. We're right at the front of the building. There's no chance to miss us. And we have people walking up saying, oh, what's going on? And, you know, this looks great. And sometimes people think it's a little market stall or maybe we're a big extended family. But we often get people asking questions about it. everyone that's involved.
So
is
can
really...
you actually buy stuff there too?
No money. No money at all.
That's fantastic.
It is. It's wonderful. And it is all around sharing and swapping. Yeah. So,
and I think that, you know, I mentioned a company a little while ago, and I'll have to try and go back on the records and just bring it to the fro again, but they were talking about one particular group in America. They go into different areas. So if I know that Lise has something like, you know, excess orange trees or whatever, everybody goes and has a big workshop and they'll produce something out of there, then that becomes something that then gets swapped and changed around. So you can see that it's a bit of a flow that's happening throughout, because people are actually wanting to do that. They're a lot of the times too small to go to the markets, and yet you've just got enough, like yourself. You can't turn up at Brisbane markets with, you know, 4 eggplant and 5 tomatoes. You know, you're going to get laughed out of the shop. But at the same time, it gives you the opportunity to say, well, you know, I don't want to have to preserve this. I don't want another chutney in my cupboard. Yeah. But at the same time, I do need some eggs. I do need some salad greens. I need a plant, some parsley or something like that. So I'm assuming all these things are what you can take. And I think that's fantastic. So, Lise, thanks for sharing that. I'm really interested in the fact that what's come of your garden has actually just been a real community involvement. And I think that is a really interesting thing that's developed.
It is. It is a really, really wonderful development. And the feeling of knowing these great people that, and people say, come over to my place because I've got all these bromeliads, or I've got all this garlic. Come, you know, like, come and help me dig it out or whatever, and I'll give you half of it or whatever. There's a lady that did that. Wasn't garlic. Sorry, I said garlic because I've got garlic on the mind at the moment because I've got my patch that I need to dig out. But one of the ladies that said to me for the last 2 months, please come and help me dig out my ginger, and we'll share it with everyone, which is great.
Yeah, I think it's fantastic. Thanks for joining us, Lise. Well, no doubt we'll cross paths very shortly. Gary can come back refreshed, from his little break. But thanks for joining us on 101.5.
Thanks a lot, Annette.
Bye now.
Bye for now.
And, of course, we've been talking to Lise, and I think that this is the sort of thing that we're seeing now. I mean, I remember talking to the Kabocha Gardening Group a little while ago, and their membership started something like 25, or, you know, someone's going to correct me here, but a very, very small amount, and it went over the hundreds within a short period of time. So that interaction that, you know, we talk about the collaboration, you know, with Amanda Schultz, I've spoken with her so many times about how all the farmers are now getting together and doing things. Even the small backyarder is enjoying these wonderful things. So that's great. We'll be back very shortly, and we're going to be talking about some ideas for, you know, back to school. We're back into the throes of those, and, of course, some cooking ideas. And welcome back to Community Kitchen. Of course, we always try to share some goodies. I've been talking about some different ideas with cooking. Last week we shared some ideas on, you know, diet ideas. And just getting back to that, I think also that one of the rushes we talked about, breakfast the other day or a few weeks ago. And I thought, you know, even that in itself sometimes can be a little bit of a push. And I thought of the fact, I suggested that maybe the mums and dads could make up a little bit of a pancake or a fritter batter, which the children could contribute to. And then I started to think about the fact that you've got French toast and you've got omelets and you've got boiled eggs. And of course, that wonderful egg just makes such a big difference. You know, when children get to a certain age, they're more than capable of being able to scramble. I know that some people use their microwave for that. I've never been a good microwave cook, and I still have failings on the top of the stove. But I think that some simple ideas that you can give your children, boiling an egg, of course, you can pop the water in the eggs in the cold water and bring it up to the fro. It's a matter of teaching them how to use the timer on their mobile phone or your mobile phone. and make it a bit of an adventure so they won't forget. An omelette, of course, can be so easily made and in a pan where they just have to use a wooden spoon to stir it around and let it sit for a while and just getting that temperature right. These are great helps when you're actually working, even for yourself, getting going. If they're making fried rice for dinner, then of course they'll want to know how to make a little omelette to stir through. There's lots of different combinations that you can teach children, even that beautiful where we make some French toast. And that can change around too. It doesn't always have to be the French toast that I used to have as a kid with cinnamon and sugar. But of course, nowadays we try to think of giving all those varieties to children. The berries are out, yogurt, beautiful yogurt, natural yogurt with maybe just a little bit of honey through it if they don't like the Greek yogurt. Bananas with a bit of maple or some gorgeous honey drizzled over the top of that. You don't have to make things boring, but at the same time, involving the children and getting that food made in the morning, poaching an egg. It could be crack the egg into the bowl and let them slip that into the water, give them the timer once again and make themselves a great little poached egg on a muffin or a piece of toast. And they can start to actually contribute to getting that morning routine down pat. The amount of people that you meet who don't have breakfast, it just is staggering. And then, of course, what does that mean? That you have to go and buy the world's biggest coffee and the world's biggest muffin, which contributes to the weekly budget. And, of course, these things aren't cheap. Nice to have a going out and having a little bit of a treat every now and then, but if that's a procedure that you have to have every morning, then maybe it's something that needs to be addressed so that you actually get into a little bit of a system, get the family going. We talked about diets last week. It's probably another contributing factor. All these things are very helpful if you can actually get the family to contribute or get yourself a little bit organized. But when we come back, I'm going to be talking about leftovers because they're just one of the best contributors to the lunchbox. We'll be back very shortly. And welcome back to Community Kitchen. It's all about food here, whether or not we're growing or baking or making, as Lise said earlier. Sounds like a great organization, worthwhile having a little look on Facebook for that. But, you know, one of the things that I love about opening that fridge at lunchtime is what is there made for me to eat? What leftovers do I have? And let's just think about, I love talking about mince. If we talk about a meat option, it's economical, it's something that is affordable. If you're going to do a vegan side of it, then of course you'll either soak your beans or you might use something like a lovely chickpea and put some other goodies in there and make yourself a great patty. I often do a potato, leftover potato, and add that to some chickpeas, add a little bit of chickpea flour, put some nice cumin in there and some other goodies. You know, chop up some fresh parsley. Maybe you don't always need to put an egg, but it's a good binder. And then roll that, and that is a fantastic little chickpea patty that you can put with some great sides and a salad. If we're going to be doing, say, for example, lamb mince, and it's good to throw these different things around. If I were doing lamb, I'd probably put some cumin, some grated carrot or beetroot, garlic, grate your garlic so that it's not as strong, some parsley. If you want to bind it, maybe you would want to put an egg and a little bit of panko. But, you know, I've always found the trick is if the mince is really, really cold and you work this stuff into it, it will hold very well. If the mince is warm, you're going to be battling to actually get that to bind. So if that is really, really cold and work all those ingredients, they'll sit beautifully and they'll sit nicely on the barbecue. Another one, of course, is chicken mince. I hate the texture personally of chicken mince, but I find a fork gets rid of that. Or put some food gloves on if you don't like it, but it just has a different type of texture. If you can get your butcher to sort of make it a little bit, you know, maybe a little bit coarser, it might help. But I think it's just the whole feeling of it. It feels a bit more slimy, I think, than the other mince, but it does hold its flavour and it's beautiful. So if I were doing chicken mince, I'd consider doing maybe some sesame seeds, a bit of chili, coriander. If you happen to have a kaffir lime, chop that up very finely. I would definitely put a little bit of a bind in there, maybe some panko. But remember that your sesame seeds do take up quite a bit of liquid. And I sometimes just use the egg white if I'm using chicken, because a lot of the times what I might do is I will put them inside a use the chicken mince and pop it inside a little dumpling wrapper and cook that in my chicken stock, especially if I'm doing that for winter or a nice little noodle soup or something. So I don't always use the egg white, the yolk, because it's too much liquid. I find that that's probably what it is with chicken mince. It's probably a little bit more moist. So consider that. And that will give a beautiful flavour. And of course, you can change your salads around to suit that. So you're sort of looking at a more oriental flavour with that. Now with the beef, of course, I always grate the onion, especially if I've got kids or something around, because, you know, they just don't like it, but it really does add the flavour. It's one of those things. You can just use a really great seeded mustard or a tomato paste, whatever way you want to go. Beef seems to carry a flavour, and it doesn't need a lot of add-ins when you're making a really good patty. I think it's good. Sometimes what I'll do too, if I've got some leftover sourdough, I'll soak that in a bit of milk, just enough to actually wet the loaf. You don't want it swimming. And then you can find that you can break that up and put that through the patties, and that will hold. And it actually makes them a little bit fluffier. I know my mum used to do that, and it worked really well. Now, thinking as a side with that, if I was going to have a leftover, and if I was, say, for example, making a slaw to go with that, if I was thinking of along the lines of doing something with my lamb, then I might consider grating an apple, some fennel, some chopping up some cabbage, grating some carrot, and I would do a yogurt and mint dressing and just fold that through. Of course, if you want leftovers the next day, don't dress at all. Do a little bit more of the slaw, leave it to the side, and in the morning you can just put a little dressing on it and set your little patties on top, and you've got yourself a great lunch. Of course, the kids can have that in a little pitta or something like that. It's just easy for them to handle. If I was going to be doing the chicken, I'd probably consider doing something like cabbage, mint, heaps of mint. It just lifts it so beautifully. Fresh coriander. I might put some cashew nuts in there or some almond slithers that I've roasted in the oven and just chopped up fairly finely. And I'd probably do an oil base there. So I'd probably use a macadamia or I love olive oil. It doesn't worry me if I use that in a dressing. I think it's just delicious. And place maybe some sesame oil in there, a little tiny bit of a light soy sauce, or even if you wanted to change that around and use something like a rice wine vinegar, that gives a beautiful flavour and it just lifts that a little bit. Remember, play with those. You don't want too much vinegar, but I usually find that if I do a tablespoon of the rice wine and a couple of the olive oil, and then you just put a little bit of sweet in there. A lot of people I find are using maple for their sweeteners now, but something like that, even if you use the sushi vinegar, it is not natural, but it's actually coming with its sugar, so you don't need to add. And that can actually add another beautiful flavour. And of course, with your beef, grated onion and mustard, if you're going to be doing that, a great slaw with, you know, a nice mayonnaise dressing. And that's just a few quick, easy sort of things to make. The kids can roll them up at night. You've got your slaw all cut up. And it's just a very, very easy meal. And it goes into the lunchbox really nicely in the morning. If you wanted to do that and just maybe chop a little avocado just to add to it, maybe a cup of tomatoes. And that is just going to give you that opportunity to pack your lunch. And once again, if you're watching that that little summer diet there, be aware that the mayo's probably got a little bit too much fatty stuff in it that you don't want to consider. So maybe consider using that Greek yogurt, and that will add to that. You can drop that back a little bit and put a little bit of dressing in there. You can always change. It's a great thing about cooking, is that sometimes a mistake can lead to something really interesting that you can use down the track. That's it for me today. Thanks for joining us. And of course, next week we'll be travelling somewhere. I know last month we went a little bit local. Who knows? Hopefully Jacinta will be around to entice us with some great idea of some country and some different food. But thanks for joining me, and I'll look forward to being with you next week.